Well, howdy, 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 folks. Thanks for being here. I am excited to be here, and we couldn't get Brian's camera to work, but I've got Brian on the line with me, and we are going to interview and find out all about Brian, and Classic Kettle Corn is the name of his company. And Brian, thanks for being here with me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Happy to do this.
Awesome. Now, how long have you been doing Kettle Corn?
We will be starting our 7th year this year.
Oh my gosh, so you are very familiar with the business.
I sure am. We've made Kettle Corn. I mean, we smell Kettle Corn. Our shirts smell like Kettle Corn. Our house smells like Kettle Corn. Yeah, we've been making Kettle Corn.
So how are you doing this full-time, or do you just hit events?
Well, what we do is we do fairs, festivals, and some events. And in the Kettle Corn business, it's kind of difficult if you want to just get on the street corner somewhere and that kind of thing. It's a snack food. And being a snack food, it makes a huge difference.
So you wouldn't, you know, what I've learned, you really can't set up Kettle Corn, to me, and I'm brand new at the Kettle Corn side, is you can't really set that up just on the street side and think it's going to do something good like hot dogs would, unless maybe you were sitting by another vendor who had food.
Correct. Yeah. We actually tried a Home Depot one time. They saw us somewhere and invited us to come down there, and it was, you know, you sell 10, 11 bags, and it really wasn't, you know, worth your while to go and to sit out there and do it. It's better if you're sitting next to another vendor that's selling food and that kind of thing.
That's awesome. That's what I've learned from the people that I've talked to so far. It was, hey, stick with fairs, festivals, small craft fairs, stuff like that. And it seems to be, from what I've been talking to people, and you can tell me if they're right or wrong, is that people are more apt to eat sweets and kind of junk food out themselves at these type events. Like, they give themselves permission. So you find it, as far as sales being better at those types of things, than you would at a street location or in front of Home Depot or something.
Oh, you better believe it. And they'll pay a premium price for it. If you're somewhere that's doesn't have the ambiance of somewhere special, something that always doesn't happen every day, they'll pay money. They'll pay a lot of money for stuff.
Well, since you brought up money, if you don't mind, I'd love to ask you some questions on the money side of it. And I'm not going to get into, you know, I don't need to see your tax returns. What I'm trying to find out is what size bags do you carry, number one? Because that'd kind of give us an idea about the money.
Okay, basically we do the medium bags.
Okay.
When I go to a show, I'm paying a bunch of money to sit there.
Okay.
I'm paying anywhere from one of the smallest is $85 to the largest is $500 for a 2-day show. Really way expensive. And so that's going to determine the price I do. I do the medium bag. I think I see you using the Greg Sweets bags. He's got the $3, the $5, and then he's got the big one for $8.
Yeah.
And then it's like a 18-inch bag by 9.5 or 8.5, something like that. Now, that's my medium bag. When I go to a show, that price is usually either $5 or $6 for that bag, depending on where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I did the medium and large, so I've got the I guess it's the 24-inch bag, 9.5, and then a 9.5 by 18, and I end up with with just two sizes, and I priced it $1 apart from each other, so it was like a no-brainer for them to, you know, when I said, hey, we tried two different prices during that, but I said, hey, it's $5 when they asked how much. And I go, or you can get the large bag for $1 more. And it seemed to work, like it worked better that way for me. It's kind of like my, with hot dogs, with me doing the meal deal, you know, you could get a meal deal for, and you're basically, or they felt like they were getting, you know, the drink free or the chips free or the drink and chips free, depending on how I priced it.
Right.
So
yeah, what we normally do is that big bag is $8. It can be $8, it can be $10, it can be $12, and it really determines where I'm at and how much I'm paying to sit there. One of my shows that charges me $500. I showed up there. We've been there for 5 years, I believe, and we were charging $5, just selling our medium bag for $5 a piece, and they guarantee us exclusivity, and that's the key. And wow. You know, you can make a lot of money if you're exclusive, and then they doubled and tripled us up, so we went up in price just to make up for it, because you're paying $500 to sit there. If it rains one of the 2 days, which out of the 5 years, 3 of those years, it happened, where if it rains you out on Saturday, wow, you got Sunday to make up all the
costs, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're doing this full time with other things or just kettle corn?
My kettle corn business is really part time. It's just on the weekends.
Right, for the events and stuff.
Right, for the events. I do sweet tea along with it. Kettle corn is fickle. When it's really, really hot,
right,
you're not going to sell anything.
Okay.
It could be if it's a hot day, but as soon as that sun goes down, you're going to have a line, so you better be ready. And
that's interesting. I didn't know that.
And y'all, we couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. And I said, look, we need a hot item to keep people coming to our booth. And so I said, well, crap, we can make great sweet tea. So we started making sweet tea. We brew it right there. We have a little cooker and we brew it all right there. Nothing instant, you know, fresh brewed sweet tea.
Nice.
And so here we are sitting there for a 4th of July show. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ben, our 4th of July shows, we bring home in just a couple hours, but you're there all day in the heat.
Right.
But just a couple hours, we'll do $1,500 just like that.
Wow.
I mean, 350 bags, and we're popping till we can't stop. But what really bothered me was sweet tea sold when the sun went down along with the kettle corn. So it did. So I'm looking for something else that will handle my heat.
When you're saying heat, I just want to clarify for anyone listening is that you're saying during the hot part of the day, kettle corn doesn't do as well. And so you tried to find a product that would sell good during the hot part of the day, which sweet tea is like, to me, a no-brainer. My wife would just be steady in line doing circles around sweet tea.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were at a festival. Now, I live in Georgia. I'm like 15 miles from Atlanta.
Okay.
So we were doing, they have their little ice cream festival. So we know we're not going to do well until the sun goes down or whatever. And so we were sitting there and a rainstorm came up. And it was interesting. There's like a line of like 50 million people over the shaved ice. As soon as the clouds covered the sun, it like they did an about face and came into my line.
And in
that little bit of time, we made our money back. Plus we put $900 in our pocket.
Sweet. Now give me an example of when you do a day like that, a $900 day in profit, what kind of employees, what kind of staff do you have to be able to turn that out? And I guess before you answer that, tell me what you're cooking on, what size kettle, because that'll give us an idea how often you're turning over a certain amount of cups of or bags of popcorn.
Right, right. Yeah, I knew we were going to get into that one. I use, I know you have the Greg Sweeps, the little slugger with the paddle monkey.
Yep.
Well, I'm stirring this with the paddle. I'm doing it by hand. I got a 160 quart kettle from North Bend Kettle Corn.
My next one is going to be 100%. I'm my next little event, I'm doing by the paddle. It's better eye candy. I did a test the other day, and it was, my son who was bored the other day, stood there and watched me stir that and was getting too close. You know how it pops on you.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was enamored by the process. And I think it took away from the process is what my personal opinion is already using the paddle monkey.
You're right. You're right. And there's a show involved in that. So you got people that are going to get by your tent and they're going to watch you make it. and then you're going to be stirring it and stirring it. And once, when they watch you make it, sometimes they go by and they'll buy a couple of bags just out of the, you know, out of the, I mean, not guilt, but just because, you know, they saw you make it. So
they enjoyed the entertainment. That's like a thank you.
Correct. And that's got me into shows. I've had somebody say, hey, do y'all stir this by hand, or do you guys have a machine that makes it all and you just dump it and put it in the bag? I said, well, no, I stir it. It's hand popped kettle corn. That makes a big difference. And it actually makes a big difference on the flavor of the corn.
I believe that too. Here's something I noticed, and I don't mean to cut you off, Brian, but I'm a newbie. I'm as green as you can get. And I noticed immediately by doing the stirring, I was able to get my popcorn to pop most all the kernels, and I was able to keep, you know, the control is making sure all the kernels stay at about the same temp to the right time, and it keeps your sugar from even the potential of burning. You have more control that way.
Right, right. I mean, and I believe on when I posted on your video, I said that the temperature, the moisture content in the air, you got to control it because you're working with sugar. You know, if you watch any of the sugar shows where they do this on TLC and all that stuff where they're messing with sugar, temperature is huge. So you got to control the temperature of your tent when it's nice and warm and you got everything warm in there, even though you got long sleeves on, gloves on, hat on, the face shield on, and you're stirring. I'm telling you, you'll scratch your head wondering, why in the world is this not coming out the same? But you got all this stuff, you're inside, you're outside, and it makes a lighter and fluffier kernel.
Because the temp, the ambient temp you're talking about, having a huge effect on each batch, no matter if you're doing all the exact same things, this exact same way, the temperature, the ambient temperature of the environment, humidity and temperature change that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, last year was our sixth year, and we just figured out, we went to a show and it was just misty and kind of rainy the whole day. And we're like, man, how are we going to make some money? Because this show, people were there. I mean, they were walking in the rain. And I said, we gotta get it out, because you don't want to throw popcorn in it. It's like soggy milk cereal if it gets wet. Well, we have, you know, our sides were on and everything was on, and we covered everything up, and it was nice. I mean, it was toasty warm in there, and we put a shield over the front of the tent in front of the sifting bin to get anything from blowing in. And we would just, what we would do is we would do one batch at a time, and my wife could bag it up as quick as I could get another batch out. So you cool it, you salt it, you cool it, and then you bag it up. So, and we walked away, even in the rain, we walked away with some good money. And I was like, wow, man, that's pretty cool. Because one thing it tells you is people are coming out in the rain.
Right.
So you need to be able to, you know, you're there to sell them, so you need to be able to figure a way out to get that corn out there and put it in their hands.
Now tell me, on the back to the $900 a day profit deal, on something like that, you've got to have a path for producing enough kettle corn. You said you were using the North Bend, but what size kettle is it? 80 quart?
No, it's a 160 quart kettle.
Okay, so you're doing twice as much as I can do. And how many people are bagging? How many people are taking money? How does the flow work?
Okay, this is we got it down. I've got three daughters and a son. And my son, last year he just turned 12. And then, of course, my wife. This show that I just made $900 on, it was only three of us. I cook an 8-quart batch, an 8-cup batch, and it gives me about $45 a batch if I don't give out samples. You should be able to get 9 medium bags if you're not giving samples. So on a crappy day where you're you're out there selling it like crack on the street. You know, you're offering samples, and you know, you got it in a plastic cereal, one of those Tupperware cereal things, and just right. giving them samples.
Right.
Well, anybody that walks by has to try. And you, your personality, I mean, I've watched plenty of your videos. You got all kind of personality coming out. Man, everybody walks by. It's a light, semi-healthy snack. It's sweet on your lips and light on your hips. So,
I like that.
And I throw it out there, and I throw that out there to all of them. The big musclehead guys, you know, that walk around, you know. And I said, sir, this is not gonna mess up your figure at all. Here, give it a try. You know, and as soon as you pick on them, the girl on the hip, you know, she wants to try it. So whatever you've got in your personality, you throw out there, and you're giving out samples. However, if you get a good day where people are lined up and you don't give any samples out, man, your profit is out of this world.
Now, two questions still. So you've got five people working on a busy system, right?
No more than four.
No more than four. Okay. And then two of those are bagging?
Two bagging, one popping, one taking money.
Okay. And then my question, you just brought up something unique, is you've got a 160 quart popper. Mm-hmm. Why just 8 cups a pop? Is that for the show so that you get to pop more? Or is it about you've determined, hey, I can get a better, more proficient, you know, more kernels popped and everything, heat perfect with doing 8 cups?
Yes, it's the yield. You're going to yield more per cup than you would. I mean, 6 cups, if you're doing 6 cups in my thing, you're going to have very few old maids, very few unpopped kernels. But 8 cups, you know, 8 cups you can handle a line.
Okay.
Sometimes I wished I had a smaller one for some smaller shows, because you're getting that smell out constantly. And there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that kettle corn smell, especially on a hazy day, because that stuff is, you can't get above them crowd.
Sticks in the air.
You better believe it. That sweet sugar smell and that corn smell, whoa, that'll get people excited.
Yeah, I had a couple people come up last Saturday that because it was rainy, sleety, snowy, they came around the edge of the building and they go, I knew I smelled kettle corn. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how it hung there, but when it started, you know, the weather went from clear to within an hour, it was crap. But that crap made the smell linger.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So, that's interesting that, so what do you, when it's rainy, nasty, is your yield still pretty decent on 8 cups as compared to the perfect conditions and 8 cups?
Okay. It's hard to tell. It's hard to, you know, if, like, I have the netting I have in my tent, right? I got my tent's pretty expensive. I got the netting, the half nets, and then I can do a full net in the back, or I can do a solid. So I'll actually, with when I control the weather, I put these white cheap sides up that I got from one of those, you know, Walmart tents. So, and that's how I can peel a corner back, and I can do this and that, and kind of control the temperature, at least coming out from the canopy.
Right.
So the yield is good, but the stirring's a little different.
Okay.
You know, if it's real moist, I'm on stirring it constantly. Because sometimes, I mean, you can lift up your lid and see your sugar kind of clunking up. You know, because especially when you're opening, closing, if you're making batches constantly, your pot's hot. So you dump your 6 out there, and then you get your sugar and your corn and your oil and put it in for the second batch and turn it on. And then, but if you're cooking some, waiting a little bit, and then cooking again, the pot heat has to heat up again. So, and when you put your ingredients in, that's important. Like, you want your, you throw a couple of kernels in. I do it just like Greg teaches on his videos.
Okay.
Put a couple in, and then you kind of rock and roll from there.
Okay.
So
you're not, but you don't use a lid. You brought up a minute ago that your lid. Are you using an open popper with a half lid or something? Because, like if I take my auto stirrer off, right?
Yeah.
And I go to paddling, I don't have a lid now. There is no lid. And if you do put a lid, you can't stir as far as I've done so far, I couldn't stir as well. Like I fabricated me a half lid. I had the shop fabricate me one. Uh-huh. I still wasn't able to stir good.
Yeah, but well, my shootout like missiles, I have nothing over the top of my pot.
Okay.
I mean, it's shooting out everywhere. But sometimes when it's going, you can figure out stirring so it don't. So you can't guide the missiles, obviously. You know, they're going to hit all over the place. But you can kind of keep your baggers protected a little bit, you know, by, you know, getting in their way a little bit, you know, and shielding them somewhat.
I got you.
But, yeah, my 160-quart kettle, there's no lid on it. I stir it with that big stick they gave you. And we, you know, like I said, you know, when you're making the kettle corn, you make sure your oil's nice and hot before you put anything in it. You know, throw a couple kernels in there when they start popping, then you throw all your kernels. But what you're going to find when you go to a huge festival is you're going to have to figure out how to cut corners, because every time you throw an ingredient in there, it the oil cools off down. Somewhat,
right.
And it's got to get up to 400 degrees in that thing before that stuff starts busting.
Right.
And then your sugar, when you're putting your sugar in there. You know, or whatever ingredient you're putting in there to make your zesty flavors, however you want to do it. And then you just, I used to not stir as much, but now I just keep a steady stir. And you can, with the stick, you can pull them off the bottom better. You know, and like I say, I don't use the automatic stir, so I've never done that. But from what I understand, you know, I'll do two or three rounds, and then bam, bam, I'll pop the bottom and keep going around, bam, bam, pop the bottom. And, you know, they get a little more fluffier. You know,
gotcha.
It seems like they get a little bit better kernel, and it gets,
right.
Everything gets the kiss of sugar. You know, not one, it doesn't, one piece doesn't look like fiddle faddle.
I got you. I got a question about the oil. Now I've heard different people say different oils, but I've tested some different oils now, and I seem to like, and it could be in, you know, that embedded bias you have because you heard it first from this guy and he was good at it or whatever. So I'm not positive, but I'm using corn oil. That seems to be what is effective for me. But I've seen some people do some mixed oil. I haven't tried any mixed oil, like a peanut, corn, or something else, but I'm using corn. Now, I think I've got that part down, but the amount of oil is another one, because, you know, they do this, the 2-to-1 ratio thing, but then I got to looking, I started adding a little extra oil, especially because, you know, you're dumping sugar in there that's going to absorb oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to noticing I could use way more oil and come out with more popped kernels and a better consistency on my heat.
Right. But you're also going to come out with an oily corn.
Okay.
And when you're popping corn at home and you're not making kettle corn, when you're popping corn at home, you just want it to, like what I do is in the pan, I put the kernels in there and I put the oil in there, and I'll tip that pan easy to where if it puddles up, I'll pour that out. Okay. But obviously you're going to put that sugar in there. So that sugar is going to take some of that, going to absorb some of that. So what you really want is, and I played with it, is, you know, North Bend gives you this square type of oil measuring thing.
Okay.
And I don't go all the way up to the top of it, because going up to the top of it and then putting a little bit at the bottom gave me too much oil, and you can see it on the sifting bin, right? So I put, like I do on my 8-cup batch, and you can see that there's just not a quarter inch, just around the rim. When you put the corn in, around the rim of the corn, there'll be some oil there.
Okay.
Now, and then once it's ready to put the sugar in, again, it's a weather-sensitive thing. So if it starts thickening up, If it starts sticking it up, you just keep stirring a little faster or slower to get that oil back out of the sugar.
Oh, I got you.
So if it, you may not, I mean, I'll lose, I'm okay with losing a handful of kernels if my corn tastes better, because a handful of kernels cost pennies,
right,
maybe. So as opposed to somebody coming by saying, man, yours is terrible.
Or it's oily or whatever.
Right, or it's oily or whatever.
I did one batch where I did too much oil, and I definitely know what you're talking about, oily. I wasn't talking about too much oil, but I was talking about, I think in the beginning, when I learned that if I added more sugar, I was getting a more, especially on the caramel corn, I was getting a really good flavor with more sugar than using less sugar, or most of the ingredients out there, it was less sugar, and that I had found. And so I tested those first, and even the people that tried it when I was doing samples, it was, they were saying, boy, this could stand to be sweeter, and was the bottom line. So I started using more sugar, and then I noticed I needed more oil. So once I figured out the oil, or at least I call it figured out, but I'm kind of eyeballing the oil, like you just said, around the edge where it's barely there, but enough of it so that I don't end up with either clumps of sugar that stay clumped, they never, you know, dissolve, or they end up being too much oil, like I did the one time with too much oil, and I made my kernels oily, or my batch oily, and then, or being too dry, and then not popping hardly any. You know, I had one batch, I didn't pop crap. I mean, a bunch popped, but as far as, I would have said half again as much was in kernels.
Wow.
Because I was too dry, because I had added too much sugar that absorbed my oil, it got to temp, and half the batch popped, I dumped, and it was over. You know, because I couldn't wait. If I'd have waited, I'd have scorched what was there.
Yeah, you want to make sure that oil is super, super hot before you put your sugar in. You know, you're throwing your kernels in. What I do, and obviously, I'm stirring with a stick. So, and I've got a 200, I mean, I got a 160 quart kettle. So when I put my oil in, and I'm wide open with the gas.
Right.
I'm not slow with the gas. I'm wide open with the gas. I want that stuff jumping around, and the heat is going to be around the pot. So when I throw some kernels in, I'm going to stir that oil with a few kernels in, so it can take some of that heat from around the pot.
Gotcha.
Right. So when those kernels pop, I'm throwing the rest of my kernels in, and I'm stirring that. I'm not throwing my sugar and kernels in at the same time, because if the sugar absorbs all that oil, then man, it's like mixing concrete with a stick. I mean,
see,
it's like sludge.
I know for a fact I did that in the beginning. I was putting the sugar in way too early, and that was messing me up. So I started doing it later, and I was getting better results immediately. Better results.
Yeah, I normally have one layer of kernels already popped before I'll put my sugar in.
Oh, really?
And then I'll put that sugar in, and I'll go. You know, it makes a lighter corn. It's not as kind of a brown looking to it, or a golden.
Right.
It still gets golden, but it's
not
and
as.
And that works for me in the big pot.
Okay. What kind of ratio have you found on an 8-cup batch, let's say? Because that's an average batch, 8 cups. I've been doing 6 and 8s. And
but
probably 8 is overkill for my kettle. But on a 6-cup batch or an 8-cup, how much sugar would you do after you've been doing this 6 years going on 7? How much sugar would you put in, or the caramel sugar mix?
I'm 2-to-1.
2-to-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2-to-1. 2 parts corn, 1 part sugar.
Okay.
So out of 8 cups, I use 4 cups of sugar.
I've been doing a little bit more than that now, and it's not much more, but I've been about a cup more. So if I do 6 cups of corn,
and you're doing 7.
Are you saying no? I wasn't doing 7.
4.
No, right. I was doing like either four or sometimes five.
Well, here's what you got. Now, the one thing that I didn't tell you is how I got into the business.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah, it was kind of strange when, I guess around 2006 is when I graduated college as an old 42-year-old dude, and doing what I was doing was not working.
Right.
With a wife and four kids. And so I saw this. I was looking at vending stuff online, and I saw some of those guys up there, and I'm like, good nightmare. By 2008, I bought me a heat press and a bunch of decals, and I went and started vending T-shirts. We're out there in 98 to 100 degree weather trying to get T-shirts, and I got a 400 degree heat press going on, and I'm sweating bullets, and I'm smelling all this food going, good night. And I see this guy with this big flowery cup of lemonade, and I said, sir, how much did you pay for that? And he said, $5. I almost dropped the load right there. And I was like, holy crud, everybody had food in their hand.
Oh yeah.
And I said, man, food's the way to go. Well, there was this young lady that was behind us, was working for this other guy. She was making kettle corn. She wasn't measuring nothing. My wife loves kettle corn. She went back and got her a bag. She gave him some. I said, this is a holy nasty mess. Well, then my father-in-law, he catches on, saw one of Greg Sweet's videos saying $20,000 in a weekend. So he went and bought him some equipment, but he didn't buy it from Greg. He bought it out from North Bend. And it's a lot harder than he thought it was. And it was just him and his wife, and the equipment's heavy. I mean, the equipment's heavy, and you're picking up 50-pound bags. And so he wanted to work it from his house and sell popcorn from his house kind of thing, and he did it for a little bit. We were in debt. I had gotten a job, and I was working. I said, man, we got to get out of debt somehow. And we had $2,000 left to pay off, and he had offered to sell me all the equipment. Now, I've got the top-shelf equipment for $5,000. Man, I was like, I sure would like to do that. Well, that next summer, we said, hey, let's team up. Because my wife and I had this newspaper that promoted events and activities, and some of those folks owed us some favors. So we got in for free one night to a 4th of July show. We teamed up with my father-in-law and, you know, put a bunch of money in each other's hands. And we teamed up for about a year. And the money that we made teaming up, we bought it from him at the end of the season. And then that's how we got a hold of the equipment.
Wow.
And I've seen plenty of your videos. I mean, I've seen a lot of your videos. And people sometimes think that, oh, I don't have all that money and da-da-da-da-da, and I can't get into doing this or doing that. And I'm like, nobody's saying you got to buy brand new stuff.
Right.
Well, my trailer, I didn't even have a truck. I didn't have a truck to pull my trailer. So I went down to the local U-Haul, and I rented a trailer to take it, and the trailer was like to rent the truck was like $120 on average, and we're coming back with $1,000 in our pocket. Who wouldn't want to do that? And so, but now I bought me a truck last July. We were renting up until last July. And so now we can expand out and go further because, right, you know, you have to pay 50 cents a mile and all that mess, right, you know, renting a U-Haul. But that's how we got into it.
And that is so cool.
And, you know, you can bootstrap it but still be professional.
What's your plans going forward, Brian?
Well, I would like to increase our yearly profit. More than likely by at least $5,000 this year. I'd like to make $5,000 more this year than I did last year. We thought we were hitting a winner, but last year we thought we were going to come home with about $10,000. We did a 1 week long show and we ended up losing $250 on that deal.
Oh my gosh, because of weather?
I would encourage everybody, when you make a rule, don't break it. We broke a rule. The one thing you won't make money at is carnivals and fairs. The ones that have the rides, the carnival rides, you know.
Yeah.
You will not make a dime.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know, man. We've done it a couple times, and I mean, there was only, look here, there was only four people with food. Four people. Three of them made money, and we did. And the reason we showed up, the reason we showed up for that festival is because they said they had a craft show, too. It was a big craft show inside this big horse arena. And so, yeah, we jumped up in there. We did the hotel thing, you know, for the whole week. It was like 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours from our house. And, you know, first time I went out with the new truck, you know, and like, man, we lost $250.
Holy cow. So you're talking after your hotel expenses, travel expenses, you lost money. Do you think it has to do with the location that they put you there? Or was it there was too many competitors for the amount of customers? Or was it a timing issue with weather and when people were there for the Kettle Corn, when Kettle Corn does better? What do you think would cause that?
It's the carnival period. See, what happens is people will pay these big bucks, $18, to buy their kid a wrist bracelet to go in there and ride all the rides,
right?
You know, and they're not going to come out and pay another $5 for a bag of corn or $3.
They're scrimping.
Right.
So,
right.
But how does three other people do good, though, Brian? How does that happen? How do they do good?
Well, the three other vendors were food vendors.
Oh, okay, not snack vendors.
No, except for the shaved ice person. Then you had the kettle. You had the, your funnel cake and sausage, hot dogs, hamburgers, everything in this one thing. And then somebody did this, some kind of weird barbecue. He mixes up with a stick, and there were lines the lines were ridiculous for them two things, and here we are just sitting here. There were 2 days where I didn't pop not one batch.
So you're not going back to fairs and festivals, the ride types.
Yeah, I won't go to a carnival.
Carnival. Yeah.
No, we're not doing the carnival things anymore. And the only reason we went was because of they said they were going to have a big craft fair too there. Because I knew there was going to be two halves, so I figured it would bring out my customers, you know, which are really grown folk. You get some high school kids when they're, you know, their taste buds start developing more into regular food, and where they just don't want to suck 500 gallons of sugar down their gullet, and they want to taste actually some product. But, you know, we thought that was going to bring in a whole bunch of, you know, your middle age, you know, your kids are already out of the house, your 30s and 40s and early 50-year-old folks to come. But it was mostly people were coming to ride the rides, and the parents would eat at the two places that you could eat at. So,
wow.
Like I say, I mean, that was one of the things that didn't work. Now, we had one show where we thought, this ain't going to be a whole lot of nothing, and we ended up selling over 600 bags.
That sounds like a $3,000 day.
Yeah, that was a $3,000 day. That's what we brought home. Now, we pay our help 10%. Our kids get 10% of the profit each. And I was telling them, I thought, wow, if I was a kid and got $300 in one day, my 12-year-old boy took all the money. He made the whole chain. He worked his butt off.
That's
and,
cool.
I was fit to be tied. The most I've ever popped in one day, and I know that might come up, is a little over 700 bags in one day.
Well, and that's with a crew of four.
That was with a crew of five.
Five.
Five. We had a sample guy. We had me popping, and two baggers and a cashier. And that was just my whole family, so I don't have to hire people to come and do that yet. But my girls don't like doing it, so the boy, he's 12, he's been recruited, you know, whether he likes it or not.
Right.
So
that's freaking awesome, Brian. Give me, before we go, give me a tip, you or two tips. Pick the two best tips you can think of to give to anybody starting in kettle corn. And then, and that way that it'll prevent them a mistake, or to help them make more or something.
Well, the first thing I would say is exclusivity. Kettle corn doesn't go well competing with other kettle corn vendors. If you want to make some money, exclusivity. You want to make sure the show that you go to, that you're the only one selling kettle corn or popcorn. And the second thing is use top shelf products. Use the top shelf. We use Mazola corn oil. That actually gives it a butter flavor, and we don't add butter to it. People say, man, this is buttery. Well, we've never added a stick of butter to it.
Because the Mazola.
The Mazola corn oil.
Okay. What kind of kernel? You know,
magic mushroom.
There you go.
Right. Hey, you know, it's the smallest kernel, but it pops the biggest, and it's consistent. We tried Monster Mushroom. Yeah, I think we tried Monster. We tried this other brand, weird brand, and it just didn't work. And kettle corn is simple to make good. And everybody will say, oh, man, when you're making it good, oh, I saw you down here at such and such festival, and you say, I loved your stuff. And you say, thank you, and you're on your way. And then you say, baby, check out that festival because you didn't go. You know, they say you're, you know, and if everybody uses consistent and everybody uses good stuff, you won't have that person say, no, I don't like kettle corn. The last one down there, you know, ugh. If you're bringing your equipment, don't pre-pop. Don't pre-pop if you're bringing your equipment. And I'm going to tell you, if you use vegetable oil, it's going to look gray.
Okay.
It'll look gray. I mean, it'll look gray. And especially if you use vegetable oil and you pre-pop it, that will be the grossest thing you put in your mouth.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I had tested it with it, but I didn't like do a batch where I had enough to save. We just did a small batch of vegetable oil. I didn't like it, period. I felt like I could taste a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be inbuilt biases, but I felt like I could tell. But everybody that I've talked to, that like you with experience, they say corn oil.
You know, I tell you, I saw that you were doing some of the candy flavors, you know, the apple and the, yep. And you know, they taste better the next day.
Oh, I mean, agree. My wife's still eating on them.
Oh, yeah. My dad loves lemon. I mean, he'll drag his tongue across the bowl if I let him. He'll eat the lemon. But yeah, those are the main things. You know, you want to make money, you know, and you don't necessarily want to compete against anybody. When you go to a festival, you need to be friendly. The one that's not friendly, it's like, you know, you're helpful. Like the guy next to me who don't have, you know, he didn't bring enough clips, or the wind's blowing his tent down or something. Like the other, not long ago, I said, I have these big water things. And I said, here, let me hunt you. Let me, you know, cinch your tent down because you're going to be flying all over the place. And then I don't want you to fly into my tent that I just bought brand new tent.
Right.
So, you know, when you're going to a festival, signage is so important. Looking professional. I mean, we have hats that say Classic Kettle Corn. We wear red shirts that have Classic Kettle Corn on the lapel and on the back, because I am using my kids, so I don't want some little kid with some ratty T-shirt going, you want a sample of kettle corn?
Right.
You know, he's going to look kind of professional. And that's the key. Make it easy on you. Don't make it so difficult.
I love it, Brian. Thank you so much for the advice and being so honest and forthcoming with the information. It'll help a lot of people. It's definitely going to help me, and I'm looking forward to doing a live batch, you know, with customers with the paddle and to interact with them and come up with, I guess, you know, sayings like you shared with us about, you know, sweet on the lips, easy on the hips. I like that.
There you go.
I like that. Thank you a ton for doing this with me. I appreciate it a bunch, and hopefully you'll come back.
Hey, no problem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Hey, folks, this has been just a friendly reminder that you can find out more about Brian's setup and some other tips and tricks he shared with me after we got done with our interview. You can go to learnkettlecorn.com. and get all the information you want. LearnKettleCorn.com. Thanks for being here, and hope you have a wonderful day.